And we are live with the Standing Room Spartans podcast. I am Kevin Parker. He is Scott Martin. Trying out a new little intro here. We'll see how that goes. It is Thursday morning as we are recording. We kind of messed up the schedule. I don't want to say messed up the schedule a little bit. We miscommunicated the schedule a little bit. So last year throughout the season, Scott reminded me, we did Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and I was so used to this Monday, Thursday thing. So the schedule moving forward, we're going to post this picks podcast a little early because Michigan State plays on Friday. So this week is a little bit different. But generally throughout the season, we're going to have Monday post-game recap, Wednesday's game preview, Friday's will be our picks podcast. That will be this podcast, which we're posting a little bit early. Got to get the clerical stuff out of the way. Scott, it's Thursday morning. How are we doing today?
We are one day from MSU football, and we have good football tonight. This backyard brawl, I'm pretty excited about. We'll get to that. But yeah, I mean, how can you be upset one day away from MSU football? I saw your Jaden Reed days away, and it really sunk in. I was talking to you about this before we got on. You know, before one day, my brain was like, don't think about it. Don't think about it. It's still far away. You know, 2 days, that's a long time. Something about being one day away really clicked this morning.
Yeah, we're on the precipice. It's the eve, whatever you want to say. So today's the Picks podcast. If you were listening last year, you kind of know what we're doing here, but we added the wrinkle. As you guys know by now, hopefully, we are adding you guys to the Picks podcast as well. So run your pool. This is your last chance. I mean, you can join next week. You can join after today, I'm pretty sure. To be honest, this is the first time we've used the platform, so I'm fairly confident, but I'm not 100%. But you'll be a little bit behind in the leaderboard. So basically how the scoring is going to work is you just get 1 point for every correct prediction. You'll tally up the points throughout the whole season. So you can still join in late, but you will have some catching up to do. Again, that's on Run Your Pool. Go on my Twitter, go on our Facebook, whatever. We've blasted it out everywhere. And you can get the links to join. It is basically we are going to be picking the slate of the Michigan State game plus 5 to 6 of the other biggest games around college football. And you guys will be joining along in Run Your Pool. So you will be making your picks. We will be making our picks. We'll have the leaderboard going through the whole season. We'll be shouting out people on this here picks podcast, people who are doing well, people who are doing noticeably poorly. We'll shout you guys out as well. We'll have some fun with it. And the other part of this too, is there will be a prize for the winner at the end. We are in discussion with somebody who might sponsor this contest, in which case the prize will be something that we will agree on, but we do have a backup plan. Regardless, you can expect some nice MSU merch or apparel or however you want to classify that. At the end of the season, it'll be more than just like a t-shirt. So definitely something worth staying involved for. Yeah, that's about all I can tell you right now. But hopefully by this time next week, we'll have that prize finalized and be able to lay that out for you.
One quick note on Run Your Pool. If you're listening to this, let's say on Friday, and you're like, darn, the first Thursday game, I think, two Thursday games on our slate.
One Thursday, one Friday.
You know, shoot, I missed it. I'm late. Don't worry. You can join and enter picks for everything except that game throughout the weekend so that your slate of picks does not lock, just each game locks. So if you want to get in, you're a couple days late, Saturday morning, whenever you're listening, you can still hop in. You'll only miss a couple games. Still get yourself off on the right foot here. So jump in there. You can turn on email pick reminders for yourself so you get reminded every week to go in there, make your picks, earn some swag, get shouted out, feel good about yourself. We're here to have fun.
And the last bit of administration around the contest is it is picking against the spread, to be clear. And the second part of that is there's a function on Run Your Pool where they will import the spreads from a sports book on Monday. And then that will be the point spread that we are all picking from. So basically the lines you'll kind of see today how we go through it. The lines might change a little bit by the end of the week. We're all picking from the same lines. We're all picking from the opening Monday lines. So, you know, if you really want to get strategic with this and wait until Friday and see how these lines have moved, and if that helps make your pick against the early lines, then, you know, be my guest. You can get as sharp with this as you want to, but that's kind of how it's working. It's not going to update throughout the week. So don't feel like if you made your picks on Monday that you have to check it on Friday in case the line moved. The lines are locked in as soon as the picks come out. So I think that's about all the information that we need to get through. I think we've kind of laid that out pretty well. Again, you do have a chance to still join if you haven't. We'll try to add the link to the bio of this episode, as well as put that out on Twitter one more time, because if you want to get every pick throughout the whole season, today's your last day, because the first game is the Backyard Brawl, which we will get to. So before we get to that, obviously we're getting our lines, our updated lines, which we will announce as we go through here, from DraftKings, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. And they have a special promotion here. Bet $5 on any football game and get $200 in free bets instantly. If you want more action on opening night, everyone can experience the thrill of DraftKings early win promotion. If you get up 7 points, you win. You bet on any NFL team of your choice. And if that team leads by 7 points at any point during the game, you get paid out instantly, even if they blow that lead and lose. DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable. Best of all, you can deposit and withdraw your cash whenever you want. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code TPPN for the Pigskin Podcast Network, of which we're a proud member. Get $200 in free bets instantly when you place a $5 bet on any football game. That's promo code TPPN. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details. Scott, let's get to the picks.
All right, so it's been a while since we did an episode like this. I don't know how many months. You can do the math, 9, something like that. So apologies if I'm a little rusty on the picks, but our first game, I mentioned it before, is the return of the Backyard Brawl. West Virginia at number 17 Pitt in Pittsburgh. At, I think, Acrisure Stadium, which is just way worse than Heinz Field.
It's just Heinz Field.
We're just going to call it the Ketchup Bowl and move on. So the Backyard Brawl, for a little bit of history, was played every year from 1919 to 2011, except a four-year gap for World War II. Minor little interruption there. So they haven't played it, though, in 11 years. And it's back. So this is a really exciting one for those fan bases. This was a huge rivalry in that region. And I think there's a lot of excitement again about having that back. So the line right now is 7.5. It was 7.5 on Monday. It's 7.5 on DraftKings now. This one's at 7 p.m. tonight, Thursday, on ESPN. So Kevin, first pick of the year, who's it going to be?
Yeah, if there's anybody under the age of, like, I don't know, 20 that's listening, this was such a fun rivalry. And the notable game was 2007. Pitt upset West Virginia. It was second to last week of the season. And West Virginia was number one or number two in the country under Rich Rod, with Pat White and Steve Slayton, and one of the most fun teams to watch. And Pitt held them out of a national championship game. West Virginia was held out of a national championship game because of this, which seems crazy to say now. But to get to this game here, I think it's a rivalry game. 7.5-point dog. I know they're on the road, but West Virginia's talented. Pitt, you're losing your offensive coordinator. You're losing your quarterback. you have a coach who wants to run the ball, who wants to play defense in Pat Narduzzi, and that can be a winning formula, but you got to cover over a touchdown here in this game. West Virginia is really good at throwing the ball. They're going to try to score some points and stay in this one. I think this is a live dog. I think they got a chance to win this game outright, but definitely give me West Virginia with the points there.
Yeah, I was surprised to see. Honestly, I'm kind of surprised to see Pittsburgh getting as much love as they are in the preseason polls at 17. I mean, just given the volume of talent that they lost, you know, their top two
Jordan rushers, Addison gone,
their quarterback, the Benarik winner, and Jordan Addison. So I expect week one, a little jittery, straight into a rivalry with all kinds of weird new emotions none of these players have felt around West Virginia. And honestly, week one like this, I think West Virginia going on the road maybe could take a little pressure off. I know it's a rivalry game and it's a big opponent, but sometimes week one, it's nice to just focus on the game and not get caught up in the pageantry of a home game. So I like West Virginia in this one to go on the road, keep it close. I also wouldn't be surprised if they won. Again, I think Pitt, I'm not saying Pitt's not good. I'm not going to buy stock with all these new guys until I see them on the field.
And the cherry on top, did you see Keaton Slovis, Pitt's new quarterback, at the pep rally?
Yes.
He came out, you know, it looked like he was finished with whatever speech he gave. He started coming off the stage, came back out like an encore, and just gives out the F West Virginia, but he actually said the F word. That's bulletin board material that I don't think he needed to put out there. And I don't think those Mountaineers are going to take too kindly to Keaton Slovis, the Southern California guy coming over to the Appalachian Trail. I don't think he really knows what he just stirred up there.
Yeah, I don't buy the Slovis hype, but we'll see. I mean, I probably wouldn't have bought Kenny Pickett hype before last year, and here he is. Probably going to end up being a starter for the Steelers by the end of the year, just given how the preseason's gone. But anyway, first dog pick of the year, the Mountaineers of West Virginia going up to Pittsburgh. Two picks for the Mountaineers. So our game would be next, but if you've listened to this kind of podcast by us last year, you know we do Michigan State last. So we'll get to that. First game on Saturday, we've got another Mountaineer, Appalachian State, traveling to North Carolina.
Games in Boone, North Carolina traveling to Appalachian State.
Like I said, a little rusty, but the Tar Heels making the haul up to Boone. Sick stadium, sick campus. I don't know if anybody hasn't seen Appalachian State's campus, but if you like mountains, it's a good spot to be. This game Saturday noon on ESPNU. The U, I feel like we don't see the U very often there. Opened at UNC minus 2.5. DraftKings has it down to UNC minus 1.5. So clearly close. Appalachian State getting a little nudge for the home game. But Kevin, I know you're a Heels fan. So who you got?
So I watched, I was probably one of the few people who watched a good portion of North Carolina and Florida A&M week zero. That defense was leaky against Florida A&M with like 35 scholarship players. Appalachian State has two running backs, Noel and Peoples, who in their careers have combined for 3,900 yards, 35 touchdowns, and 6 yards a carry. Those guys are coming back. That running back duo is going to do some damage against North Carolina. Games in Boone. The mountain men moonshine is going to be flowing through that stadium. I've got Appalachian State here at home taking down the Power Five in-state powerhouse.
All right, two for two starting on the same leg here. I also have the Mountaineers. It's a Mountaineer kind of week. I'm going to the mountains this weekend, going camping. So
Appalachian Mountains too.
True. Yeah, there we go. So got to stick with my Mountaineer family out here, I guess. We're family now. Yeah, I like the Mountaineers in this one. I like the home game. I think UNC was hit or miss last year. Week one, I just love the Mountaineers. I feel like they always get up for games. They don't always win them, but like they got a good attitude over there in Boone. And this is kind of a dream point spread. You know, you barely get that plus odds on a home underdog week one. It's too good to pass up. So give me Appalachian State. Next game, we've got a big one. So we've got a few big ones in the slate this week, but this is the first one, Oregon and Georgia. This is in Georgia. I think it's at...
It's in Atlanta, yeah.
Stadium, so it's not a home game.
Sure. For Georgia traveling 25 miles while Oregon travels across the entire country.
An old-fashioned 25-mile away neutral site game, and they're going to be piping up their neutral site record against ranked teams, whatever. Georgia's number 3, Oregon is number 11 for context. This is Saturday, 3:30 on ABC, opened at 17.5, and that's what we're picking. And the DraftKings line's down to 17, so a little tiny bit of love for Oregon, not really. Moved half a point, basically the same. 17 points, a lot of points, Kevin. What do you think?
It's a lot of points is what I think. So Georgia, I think they're obviously the more talented team, and they're replacing a lot, but that doesn't really worry me. I think the thing for me is you're coming off of your first national championship in your school in 40 years. And I don't want to say that they're going to come out like complacent and not ready for week one, but I think there's enough of that kind of week one coming off of the national championship hangover that I'm just asking Oregon to cover 17.5. I mean, this game could still be, 31-17 and be like a pretty clear, convincing Georgia win. And I still get Oregon to cover that. I think Oregon is still a talented football team and may have the best linebacker duo in the country with Penei Sewell's little brother, Noah Sewell, who could be like a top 10 pick. And then Justin Flo is a former 5-star. And if you're going to compete against Georgia, I mean, a great linebacker duo is a good place to start. So that's just a lot of damn points. Give me Oregon.
Oregon, remember, went into the Shoe last year and took out Ohio State early season. So they can get up and travel early season and take down a big name. I made a lot of picks like this where I was just last year where I was just like, Georgia's not going to cover that many. It's not going to happen. And then they'd win like 38-3. And I'm not going to start the year like that. And it might bite me in the ass the other direction. But for lack of a better term, Georgia at home, still Georgia. I know they lost some pieces, but if you've been paying attention to their recruiting, they've got plenty more pieces behind them. I like Oregon. I think they're a good team, but I think Georgia burned me on too many games like this last year. They're still great. I think they win. They cover, not by much, but give me the Dogs. -17.5. Jesus, that's a big number. all right. So night games on Saturday. We even have a Sunday game for you this week, but we'll get to that. Saturday, 7 p.m. on ESPN. Another big one, Utah and Florida. So number 7, Utah. Unranked Florida. I know Florida fans are very confident in this game. Kevin, do you share their confidence?
Well, Florida fans are SEC fans, so you know they're confident playing anybody outside the SEC.
All right, so the spread on this one, sorry, I forgot to, I'm just going to stomp on you real quick because I didn't give you all the information. Utah -2.5 to open, that's what we're picking, and it's moved to Utah -3. So a little bit of extra love for Utah as the week has gone on. I think this one is in the Swamp.
Yep.
So, hostile environment, but Utah, kind of a darling pick early preseason here for a potential college football playoff run. So, Kevin, Utes, Gators?
Yeah, Swamp is a tough place to play. I'm going to make this simple. It's a football cliche, but it's a cliche for a reason. There are three things that travel: great coaching, great defense, and a good running game. Utah has all three of those boxes checked. Give me Utah, win the game, cover the spread, no problem.
I like this matchup because it's the perfect, like, SEC. Well, we're the SEC, so we're better, period. You know, like Florida, I mean, they're not going to be a slouch this season. They never are. But they're also not expected to win the Big Ten East. They're definitely not expected to win the Big Ten East. They're not expected to win the SEC East. Utah is full steam ahead. They've been building for a while, and I think they're due for kind of their season, you know, like an MSU 2015. I think Utah is, the stars are aligning this year for a really good run, and that starts in Gainesville. So I also like Utah to cover 2.5, Utah to come out of the shoe with a win, and send those SEC slappies back with their tails between their legs. Do you think a gator could put its tail between its legs? I don't think so.
That would be a really acrobatic gator. Can you imagine? Like I don't think they got that kind of flexibility there.
All right. So probably most exciting game for Big Ten fans of the weekend. I won't speak for all of you, but it's probably the one I'm most excited to see. Ohio State and Notre Dame. So this one opened OSU again, tons of points. OSU minus 15.5 has since moved to OSU minus 17. We're going to pick 15.5. So we'll save ourselves the extra 1.5. But Kevin, this one is 7:30 Saturday on ABC. Buckeyes start strong.
This pick scares me more than any of them on the board. But the nice thing, and you'll see which direction I go, is I have a feeling I'm going to know if this pick is right or wrong by the middle of the second quarter. I think this is, again, it's just too many damn points against a really good team. I think people are assuming the Ohio State death march, and I don't think they're wrong. But people are acting like they are playing against a tier three college football team. Notre Dame is preseason number 5. If you believe in like blue chip ratio stuff, they're like a top 10 team composite talent team in the country. The new head coach there, Marcus Freeman, he has that program with so much energy right now that I think every single player on Notre Dame is walking into the horseshoe expecting to win that game. And I don't think that's hyperbole or anything. I think they believe that they're going to win this game. I don't think they're going to win this game, but I think if you're giving me 2 touchdowns with a Notre Dame team that we know is going to have a good offensive line, that we know is going to have a good running game. How did Ohio State lose last year? They lost 2 games to Oregon and Michigan, 2 really physical running teams. They played Utah in the Rose Bowl, and that Utah kept it right there because they're a really physical team that can run the football. And until proven otherwise, I'm going to keep going with that formula as the way to hang with, at least hang with Ohio State. So it's just too many points. I'm taking Notre Dame, but again, I have a feeling by the middle of the second quarter, I'm going to know if that's the right pick or the wrong pick. So that at least gives me some comfort. I don't think I'll be sweating this one out late. I think you're going to kind of know pretty early. If Ohio State just comes out firing, they score on 2-3 play drives to start the game, chalk this one up as a loss. But give me Notre Dame to cover a big spread here.
The first time I went through my picks, I had Notre Dame, for similar, less thought out reasoning. And something about today, I woke up, it's kind of like Georgia, and maybe it's just residual effect of watching Ohio State basically just take our license to life last season. And I know they lost to Oregon early season last year in a similar situation. But I'm still going to take the Buckeyes. I'm tired of hoping they don't score a million points and then watching them score a million points at my expense.
That's the terrible, like, as soon as CJ Stroud touches the football, I'm going to be sitting on my couch like, you idiot. Dummy.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, honestly, I think I see either scenario playing out, right? It's either going to be real close and you're not going to know where this 15.5 is going to land, or it's just going to be Ohio State walking out, like you said, having I don't know, covering 15 and a half in the first half. And then, yeah,
just kind of cruise control from there.
I do
right?
think, yeah. You know, they have, say what you want about like revenge and momentum and like psychology. Losing to Michigan last year and going to the Rose Bowl for that program, I guarantee it did not sit well with them for a single second this offseason. So if you think Ohio State was motivated the last few seasons to go out there and put their best on the field, I think we're going to see something different to start this year. Now, that could backfire, right? Too much emotion and you lose sight of what you're trying to do on the field. That we've seen that before, but I just think Ohio State's got a lot to play for this year. They have something to prove for once in the Big Ten. Not that this is a Big Ten game, but yeah, I think Ohio State's going to look pretty good in this one. So that wraps up our Saturday slate. Sunday, because the NFL hasn't started yet. Interesting down south game. Neither team is ranked, but certainly big brands. We've got LSU -2.5. The line's moved to LSU -3. Sunday, 7:30 p.m. night game, Sunday Night Football on ABC. I don't know what to make of this one, Kevin, so you're going to start us off again.
This is this came down to a pretty simple formula for me. So this one's in New Orleans, I believe. It's again like neutral site for LSU in New Orleans. I just think if you've watched LSU and you've watched Florida State over the last 5, 6, 7 years now, you've seen a really bad Florida State offensive line and you've seen a really good LSU defensive line. And that's just really what it comes down to for me. I think there are a bunch of question marks with both of these teams, with their quarterback play, with Brian Kelly coming into LSU, Mike Norvell in year 2, I believe, for Florida State. You've got some kind of some things that you don't know what to expect. But in that situation, when I know one offensive line has struggled and I know one defensive line has been really good, I'm going to go with the team with the dominant defensive line. So I think LSU, I think there's a bunch of question marks in this game that I don't have a ton of conviction on it, but you give me LSU playing in Louisiana against that Florida State offensive line. Yeah, I'll take the Tigers.
Yeah, I'm going with LSU because I just think they've been bad for less time. And I just don't think they've sank into that valley of mediocrity as deeply as Florida State has.
LSU bad has been much better than the Florida State bad.
Yeah, and they, like you said, they've got the neutral home game. I mean Florida State, I've been watching them for years and just underperform. You know, they like to pull up upsets, but they usually save it for like top 15 teams, not unranked LSU on the road. I'm just gonna call it on the road. I know it's a neutral, but it's not. Yeah, and 2.5 points is just not enough, right? I like the home favorite to cover a field goal. So give me LSU Sunday night, which brings us back to Friday, to the game we've been waiting for how many days, Kevin? At least 100. At least 99.
At least 99. We've been counting down.
So we've got the Broncos of Western Michigan taking the long trek to East Lansing to play our number 15 MSU Spartans. 7 p.m. ESPN. I don't know if I'll be able to watch it or not. Depends if I get cell service in my campsite. It's like a totally gluttonous move I do every year. I go camping to get away, and then I just fire up a football game as soon as I set up the tent. But you got to do what you got to do. So hopefully I'll get to see it. Otherwise, I'll watch it when I get back on Monday and then probably dive straight into a pod. Nonetheless, Kevin, the line on this one, the biggest line we have discussed today, MSU opened -19.5, has since moved to MSU -22. Thank God we don't have to pick that spread.
Yeah.
But 2.5 touchdowns, more than 2.5 touchdowns, almost 3. At home, Western, you know the storylines, Peyton Thorne versus his dad. In-state, not a rivalry, but an in-state matchup, which always adds a little extra flavor to it. I'm sure there will be a fair share of Broncos fans in Spartan Stadium on Friday night. First game of Mel Tucker's Third season. Fourth recruiting class they just announced today, so it got in my head. Third season. What do you think, Kevin? We start off strong with a 3-touchdown win?
So I'll start with a couple. So this is going to be something we're going to incorporate more into the preview podcast, but since I posted it late, I'll read off a couple of these from the Facebook group. So you got to be in the Facebook group to get on this portion of the podcast, the Standing Room Spartans community, that is. I basically asked people, like, why would we win? Why would we lose? Why would we lose? Really, everybody said basically the same thing. Just comes out asleep at the wheel, a bunch of turnovers like the 2020 Rutgers game, right? It's just a nightmare scenario. But I'll read off a couple of these, why we win. Isaac Krause says, we win because the team brought at least its B game in a non-scoreboard way. We stay healthy and the team looks good, right? So Isaac is saying, as long as we bring a B game, we're fine. Michael Vicari said, the new look defense shines and overwhelms a less talented team, and the dynamic duo of Broussard and Berger run wild. For me, so this is the first game where that we've talked about where that movement, we're picking Run Your Pool 19.5, DraftKings 22. That crosses over that 3-touchdown line, which is a big deal in the betting market. But I think I'm picking Michigan State to cover either way. And the thing for me, the more I've thought about it, I think there's a level of kind of a prove it game for Michigan State. The whole narrative nationally, and I know that the coaches say that they don't get caught up and they don't read this stuff. They do. They know. And they convey that to the players as well. Like, we're not stupid. And I think they've seen this narrative all off season long of, yeah, you know, Mel Tucker year two, that was great, but now you're going to kind of come back a little bit. You're not really an 11 win team. You don't deserve a $10 million a year contract. And without Kenneth Walker, you guys aren't going to be. And I think part of it is because there's some newness here and we're going to want to see, you know, players perform in different schemes and different situations and see how these running backs are adapting to a new offense and see how these new wide receivers can get incorporated into the offense. And part of it is that prove it game where I think the starters are going to stay in this game pretty deep into it. I think you're going to want, with Washington on the road week three, of course you want to see with the depth, what the depth looks like, but I think you're going to want to really get the starters in a groove and you're going to want to play them as much as you feel comfortable playing without it getting too ridiculous. If this does get to like a 30-point game, all right, call off the dogs. But I think the starters will stay in a little bit longer than some people might expect. And I think the offense is going to be a little less explosive than last year, but with Western Michigan, you should be scoring on nearly every possession when you have the starters in. And I think with our improved defense that I think, you know, I talked about my prediction, we could be a top 30 defense against a Western Michigan team with three returning starters on offense. I would be surprised if Western scored more than 14, which means that MSU basically needs to score 35 to cover. And I feel pretty comfortable with that. So I think Michigan State would cover either spread. The 22, for obvious reasons, makes me more nervous than the 19.5. But give me MSU to start off the year strong and cover a big spread against a MAC team.
Yeah, this is it's a lot of points. And I was looking back just last year at the couple games we had that could fall near this. I mean, Youngstown State, I think, is FCS. We won by 28. Yeah. And Western Kentucky was a conference champion, or at least they went to their conference championship last year. And we
champion, I'm pretty sure.
That game probably felt closer than it ended. We ended up winning by 17. That game is what concerns me about this game, where we got out to a big lead and then they kind of narrowed it down and just kept it close. But they had that high efficiency passing attack that once we decided we had enough and we were just going to kind of keep a lid on the game, they chipped away an extra few points, which I don't think Western Michigan necessarily has the same chops, especially this year. So I like MSU to cover 20 points. But man, that's a big spread. You know, we've seen games 28-14 against early season tune-up teams, you know, from Michigan State in the recent past. And it just, my concern here is you go up like 28-0 at the half and then Noah Kim goes in and
yeah,
the offense kind of, you know, Eli Collins is taking every carry in the second half and defense gets a little sloppy when we put the backup DBs in and they catch a couple back and all of a sudden, you know, you don't cover. But I think,
do you have any not in terms of Michigan State winning the game, but in terms of covering the spread, is there any hesitation? Because this creeped into my mind for about a half a second of Peyton Thorne against his dad. We're gonna hear that storyline 100 times, but maybe Thorne comes out a little tight. Maybe there's just some kind of like nerves there that it's a really unique situation. And you imagine putting yourself in those shoes. He's said all the right things and the coaching staff has said all the right things about that matchup. But the reality is there's no way that he can ignore that completely. Your dad, who you played for, your dad is a coach, you played for him in high school, and he's on the other sideline now. That's an element for Peyton Thorne's 20 years old. I mean, that has to be a something. That's not whether maybe he handles it really well and it turns out to, but that is still something that I think has to be mentioned, right?
Yeah. I mean, I can spin that storyline into Peyton Thorne jittery, struggling, missing a few early throws and just having a mediocre day. I can also spin that into Peyton Thorne gets to play in front of his dad in Spartan Stadium and throws 6 touchdowns. Like
maybe Peyton Thorne hates his dad. And this is like ultimate revenge tour.
Yeah, it's possible, especially week one. Any quarterback can come out tight week one, right?
He comes out and scrambles for like a 35-yard touchdown and then just gives double birds to the Western sideline.
It's possible, right? I think in terms of how I would approach opening this game, Western Michigan last year could not stop the run against anyone who is like half decent at running the ball. So I think you start pounding the rock. You get a couple like flats, you know, screen wide receiver screens, easy 5-yard hitches, just get Peyton Thorne seeing the ball in the hands of his receivers that first drive, but don't really ask him to do too much. If you can run the ball the whole drive and have like 2 or 3 completions from Peyton Thorne just to get that the points on the board, I think that would do a wonders for the whole team's confidence, really, but his confidence, and take the pressure off. Understand, all right, I don't have to be perfect today. I just got to get comfortable, get a little bit better, and help my guys get down the field. So I think for everything we've seen so far leads me to believe Peyton Thorne has the mental makeup to handle a distraction like that. But it's also a very unique distraction that we just don't see very many players facing. So it's hard to predict how he'll react to that. Honestly, I think if Peyton Thorne brings his B-minus game and we have success on the ground, I still think we have a pretty good shot at covering 20 points.
Yeah, you look at the possibility of defensive points too. We've seen it time and time again for Michigan State against lower ranked teams. You get a pick six, you get a punt return touchdown by Jaden Reed, whatever the case may be. Like, there's opportunities there for real swing plays against. They're on scholarship too, I know, but less talented, less athletic, slower, less strong players, right? You're going to have those opportunities too. So we're both picking Michigan State to cover a pretty hefty line here.
Another fun storyline to keep in mind. Obviously, Jaden Reed transferred from Western Michigan.
Yep.
So there's
and I'm played sure... for Jeff Thorne.
Not that he necessarily has anything against Western Michigan. I'm sure he probably has fond memories of it. But like whenever you play your old team, you know, there's that extra like, I'm going to show them what they're missing. And if I remember right, was Peyton Thorne committed to Western before he committed to Michigan State? I think so. So maybe that's a little extra chip for Western Michigan guy. You know, hey, this is our future quarterback, goes to the other Big Ten school in state.
And our star receiver.
And takes our star receiver after his freshman All-American season. I think Jaden Reed was a freshman All-American at Western. So if we're talking about kind of motivations, maybe a little bit on the other sideline, obviously Western's going to be motivated for this game. It's an opportunity to play your in-state Big Ten, one of the in-state Big Ten teams. So Western's going to have plenty to play for. I think Michigan State just needs to stick to the fundamentals, stick to measuring themselves against the standard, as Mel Tucker likes to say. And I think they'll be all right in this one. If the emotions get involved, maybe you don't see a cover. I don't see a world where we don't win. I mean, it's always possible, but at home, Western's just not really built for that early season upset this year. So I think it's a pretty steady.
And we've talked about it on the preview pod too. I think this Western team, especially because they're replacing so much, it's just, I'm not discounting the possibility of losing to a MAC team, but this MAC team, it's just not the one that I think is a real threat. So there you have it. The picks are completed. The hay is in the barn. We're going to try to keep these around 30 to 35 minutes, but with the whole introduction of the format and the run your pool and everything, it'll run a little bit longer today, but we're going to try to keep these around 30 minutes so that you guys can listen Friday before work, after work, before the games kick off on Saturday, and really get yourself ready for college football. So, man, we're here. Today there is a real fun game. Tomorrow, Michigan State plays.
I love that Michigan State opens on Fridays. Well, I don't love that. I don't like that we always open on Labor Day weekend, because I'm always going to have Labor Day weekend plans. And I would love to sit around and watch the whole week one of college football, but I just can't sacrifice the long weekend opportunity. But I do love that we open on Friday nights, because when I do get a chance to watch games on this weekend, you get MSU early, right? You don't have to wait the whole week. You get it on Friday night, and then the game's behind you, and you get the full Saturday slate to just
no stress,
leisure. It's a great setup. So enjoy it, folks. This weekend we're back. Stick with us. 3 times a week we'll be doing this offseason. We'll have a Western recap, Kevin, probably later Monday. I'm getting back probably Monday, and then or it'll push to Tuesday morning. But weird weekend. After that, we'll be on a steady roll.
Yep. And then Wednesday we'll hit the Akron preview, and next Friday, week 2 picks. Next Monday, Akron recap, and you kind of get the picture. So everybody enjoy the game, enjoy the weekend. If you're traveling over to East Lansing, I am very jealous of you. If you're not, we're all in the same boat watching this thing on TV, and I cannot wait. I watched 12 hype videos yesterday from random people on YouTube. I got so fired up, dude. I'm so excited for this season. So until the recap show, everybody enjoy the game. Hope the beers are cold. Hope the seats are comfy wherever you are. And go green.
Go white.
Take care, folks.